And there we go. We should very much be live. Thanks for joining us on our second outing on the stream. Today this was supposed to be a seal of approval, but for those of you wondering, Rose of Dawn has got very busy with some work, I think. So she's going to have to basically work through the evening, so that's kind of been cancelled. But we do still have a couple of guests here. I've obviously got my regular co-host Trig here, who's who's the frame pusher, which makes him sound like some kind of drug dealer.
Thanks for that. No, yeah, thanks for having me. Well, again, it's this is all cool. I'm rather excited for this one.
Trig's pushing out the stream, so any technical boo-boos, shout at him. I've got him here as a human shield.
Yes, but I do have one question, Scrump. Is Arch on the server?
Yes, Arch is here. I'm here. Introducing the guests. You undercut me. We have joining us. I'll introduce you last for that, Wes. I'll introduce you last. We have joining us Arch Warhammer. Oh, no, Arch. Arch. I can't say that.
Yes, after official copyright reasons, it is now just Arch.
Damn.
For legal reasons, we can only just call him Arch. It's so depressing, but that's the way it is. How you doing, my dude?
I'm doing as fine as anyone can expect, considering the topic today is the destruction of our world order and the supplantment of it with the corporatist rule.
You ready to build back better? You ready for that? You ready for the pod? You ready for the bugs?
The worst part of it too is thinking about who's going to try and build us back better. Like some of the commercials that have come out of this, I linked one in the general chat there from a Danish company. It is the cringiest shit you have ever seen.
Let's see if we can get that up. Hold on. Sorry. First boomer issue.
What are you trying to grab there, Trey?
What was in the general chat? Let's have a quick look at this video as we've got it. I can transition that over there. And look, hey, it works. Right.
Hooray.
I haven't seen
we
this.
Have tech. Oh, and also we have Wes.
Yeah. You got me. You know.
Wes is also here. You may recognize him from some of Woozaloo's streams.
I've been making my way around the internet a bit, and it's a pleasure to hang out with y'all. And Arch, it's a pleasure to meet you finally. Big fan, all that.
Why, thank you very much, good sir.
What is this you brought us then, Arch? Sorry.
This is a very woke commercial from a company that makes shipping containers.
Oh, what, no.
Really? I thought that was just set direct. I thought they were an art. Really, this is from them. This is from Maastricht, as in like the shipping containers, Maastricht. What the fuck?
Okay.
I only have one question, Arch. Is this our noble Viking ancestors level?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, this is a Danish company that specializes in shipping containers. Like, this is the dirtiest, grimiest, least woke thing in the history of ever. It's literally steel boxes. And they have produced this several minute long sing along rap style video where they mention every buzzword in the book, including blockchains, by the way, which is a very relevant topic for shipping containers, I'm sure.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have audio on this, or else we might get like a fucking takedown order. I don't know how aggressive they are on that. Because as we all know, YouTube is at its worst right now.
Certainly.
Yes. It's really, really fucking awful. But
it's terrible.
How do they go from let's make a woke commercial? This is the company where, like, I'm sure there's a large amount of immigrants who've died in their containers. Maybe that's what they're feeling guilty about. But
oof. It is on the level of the SAS commercial where it's just wokeness inclusivity for no reason. Like, this is a company that makes shipping containers. What on God's good earth did they have to do with any of this?
In case you haven't guessed yet, we are all discussing the Great Reset, which apparently isn't a real thing and is a conspiracy theory, even though it's on everybody's website and keeps being mentioned by world leaders. And also, they all use the same slogans.
Where was it? Where was it? Yeah, they actually outright said it's fake, wasn't it?
I did read on Snopes that it has been debunked. So y'all are racists.
I mean, all of this stuff I keep finding about it, but where the hell was the link that says it's? Sorry, I'm having a. I told you I couldn't find anything once I'd got them open in all these links. But yes.
Dear me. No, I thought you were scrolling through just showing all the evidence that this exists.
Essentially, yeah.
Eventually, you have to kind of admit it. I don't know. I wish I put it in here. I couldn't find it after I found it. But I saw someone on Twitter who was linked the World Economic Forum's like direct website and was like, look, they're talking about the Great Reset. And they're like, wow.org. That seems like an official website. And they're trying to argue that the page they were linked about the Great Reset that was on the World Economic Forum's website was fake. Because they've been told this, and they can't seem to accept that literally what they're saying is what they're saying. I don't know. It's maddening. It definitely gets my Alex Jones juices flowing. It does. It is very breaking the conditioning.
And it,
but we've got quite a few things to go through here.
It's wildly horrifying. It is. Well, I can put my Conspiraboomer hat straight on and say, I remember talking about this shit years and years and years ago as this is how wouldn't it be great if the world got here in about 200-400 years and what would be a path to get there? And the only way that we could ever work out of a path to get there was an horrific annihilation of human populace, at which point you kind of go, nah, I don't want to have these conversations anymore in a serious manner. And all of a sudden seeing this shit happening in real life, in real time, in front of you, certainly in the last 10 years, but 20, in fact, has been particularly horrifying. And they every time you hear about it, everybody denies it, and then 6 months later it's, oh yeah, yeah, they've put it up on their own website, and there it is, you know, Forbes, World Economic Forum, pages and pages of it on the World Economic Forum.
Arch, where was the first time you encountered this whole great, I know the rhetoric isn't new, but specifically the language they've been using?
Specifically the language, actually relatively recently when I saw like the first clear sign of it. I've been hearing about it for a while, but the first thing I think I saw was that was an article where one guy was talking about, the classic, wouldn't it be nice if, and he's describing this futuristic cityscape where the opening part is, after green energy became free, everything started to change. And right there, I'm just like, oh, yes, the most expensive form of energy we have. Right after that becomes free, everything will change. Okay, yeah. Right.
It's very sci-fi, yeah. It's very... A lot of them do talk about the whole post-scarcity thing.
Oh, that's this one. This article. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing. I have no privacy and life has never been better. It sounds freaking awful.
It's this really weird piece of, like, speculative fiction, I guess. It's odd because there's a note at the end of it saying the author didn't intend this to be their utopian vision. But then you look at everything else, the Agenda 2030 stuff, the Great Reset stuff, and it's very clear that this is their vision. This is what they want. Okay, let me just read you a little section from the end of this article, because holy shit is this dystopian. Okay. My biggest concern is all the people who did not live in our city. Those we lost on the way. Those who decided that it became too much, all this technology. Those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over big parts of our jobs. Those who got upset with the political system and turned against it. They live different kinds of lives outside the city. Some have formed little self-supplying communities, whilst the others just stayed in empty and abandoned houses in small 19th century villages. Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no privacy, nowhere I can go without being registered. I know that somewhere everything I do, think, and dream of is recorded. I just hope that no one will use it against me. All in all, it is a good life. Much better than the path we were on before, where it became so clear that we could not continue with the same model of growth. We had all these terrible things happening. Lifestyle, diseases, climate change, and refugee crisis, environmental degradation, congested cities, water pollution, air pollution, and unemployment. We lost way too many people before we realized that we could do things differently. It's just like, well, I know we live in a dystopian nightmare world where I literally have no privacy, all my movement is controlled, and I'm told to pity people who don't live in this megacity I can't leave. But life's pretty good, and this is totally where we should end up in 10 years.
I don't know if you can hear that rumbling sound in the background, but that is Aldous Huxley rolling around in his grave over and over and over again. And you want to talk about an easy renewable energy source, just go ahead and tap up the corpse of George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, and maybe a couple others to a generator, and we'll have enough energy to get us to the moon and back.
Oh, good Lord. I don't know how they could be more nakedly dystopian. I don't know.
The things that you just said, if you would have told me that was taken from the notes, like I know this is the third time I'm saying his name, but the notes of Huxley while he was writing Brave New World, I would believe you.
Mm-hmm.
It is
straight out of Brave New
World. Frighteningly similar.
Very similar.
It very much is, yeah. I don't
know, and by the way, is anyone else up for living in those small mountain villages as opposed to the giant city?
Oh, I'm out there. I'm out there working, sharpening knives on a stone. I feel like sharpening knives right now, to be honest.
it's like why would you be forced to abandon the countryside? Why would there be all this, you know, enforced centralization? But we see it. We see a lot of the Great Reset and Agenda 2030 stuff is very obsessed with forcing people, or, you know, heavily incentivizing people into cities. You read a lot of the literature about it. Like I said, you can literally just go to the World Economic Forum's website and read this. We're going to kind of go over a whistle-stop tour of some of the, I guess, the worst things about it. But this is all very out in the open. This is all very, very something that they're admitting to. Trig, do you want to get the slide up about the language they use? Because it is all lockstep. I'm sure you've all seen these phrases before. The Build Back Better is the big one. I know we all saw that on a lot of politicians. There it is. A lot of politicians, like stump speeches. It's basically all over Europe. Joe Biden, I think that's the New Zealand's new leader. It was used by Boris Johnson. It's been used by Justin Trudeau. The OECD there. It's basically like this. I know it's a kind of a platitude. It's like an empty platitude that a politician would say, but it is very, very universal.
Oh yeah, and it's not the only one either. We've seen the new normal, the Green New Deal, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. These are all synonyms for the Great Reset, especially the Fourth Industrial Revolution. That's now literally means the Great Reset.
I don't know. Over there in Scandinavia, Archie, is your government making a lot of noises about this? I imagine they'd be quite happy to play along with this.
Well, over here, we are a little bit more conservative about a lot of this, simply because we know where our toast is buttered. We are an oil nation. And it is still a fairly fringe movement that wants to get rid of oil. In fact, there's a legal case right now ongoing where a Greenpeace-style organization is arguing that the extraction of oil goes against our fundamental laws, and it's a violation of nature and so on. But it is very much so a fringe position. Like, we are very much aware that we've got it pretty good over here, and it is due to our modern-day economic system. The idea, like, because that's the thing too, Build Back Better, it implicitly states that we need to get rid of the old, because totally we've got a much better solution. Like, the system that has led us to an unrivaled golden age is somehow flawed, and we need to just get rid of that and do something else for reasons.
Well, it seems that some of the more nakedly dystopian rhetoric, the World Economic Forum has been not rowing back on, but at least trying to delete the evidence of. I know we saw that there was a tweet that they put out with that really, really creepy video if you want to get that up, there was a backup on YouTube there that includes the whole "you'll own nothing and you'll be happy" with the guy smiling over it, like it was utopian. I don't know how. Like I said, there was a disclaimer attached to the article I read out earlier, but I think that was done in a bit of a panic because they'd maybe tipped their hand a bit too hard. And again, I think this was only deleted once Justin Trudeau talks about the Great Reset. We'll get into that later and some of the reaction to that because it did trend on Twitter for a little while. But he came out and then the World Economic Forum panicked and deleted a tweet. I think it was from 2016, including this this really weird, creepy, smiling video about all the shit they want to pull off by 2030. Oh, dear. Before I get any further into it, though, we actually I set up a Streamlabs today for the first time. I had a bit of trouble with it, to be honest. It tries to push you into paying for its premium service, so it's kind of shit. But I did manage to get Streamlabs up, and we already have a $5 donation here from Hugh Janus. Thank you, Hugh Janus. he said, getting in early to pay to call Wes a fat. So Wes, you are a fat. If you want to donate and send some super berries our way, the link is in the description. I will put it in the chat as well for you guys. But yes,
I just want to say that I'm not fat. I simply have a glandular condition.
These
horrible accusations of my size has been greatly expanded upon.
Oh dear! But we are actually trying to do the streaming thing properly. We're trying to de-boomificate it as we go.
Absolutely, so, yeah, we're getting there.
When is Trig gonna leave? No, I'm just kidding.
He's like the counter boomer. He's like the boomer we get in to counter the other boomer stuff.
Trig is a good boomer. We love him.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go back in time a little bit, though. Let's go way back in time, all the way back to the fabled days of 2010. Do any of you guys remember the swine flu, the H1N1 stuff?
Oh yeah.
Was that a thing in your neck of the woods, Arch? Did you guys have a bit of a panic about that?
Not so much. We've had mini panics about all of them: the swine flu, the bird flu, etc. But none of them ever reached us, so it kind of just went away. It was kind of like how we thought the corona would probably be to begin with, where everyone was screaming, and a lot of people are like, "Yeah, but will it actually happen this time?" And then it did, you know.
Didn't you guys have a volcano happening at that time of year anyway, shutting down international travel or something? I seem to remember.
That was Iceland.
But that was, yeah, I know, but
affect us too, yeah.
It affected everyone.
The ash clouds were affecting everybody.
Yeah, no, I remember that time. That actually put on a surprising amount of people off work for about 2 weeks over here. And that was it.
Yeah, we didn't really bother about it apart from that.
It was a case of oh, everyone's ill for 2 weeks, and then the back. Kind of what would have happened here, I guess. Sort of, there would have been a bit more calamity. It is a bit more dangerous, but the WHO kind of they didn't make it up, but boy, did they blow it out of proportion.
They did. They actually tried to institute the same kind of measures we've seen in response to coronavirus in this. There's an article here that was deleted recently by Forbes because, you know, apparently you have to delete everything from the internet that counts as the narrative. But it's an article I think we've talked about previously on Seal of Approval. But it's literally just called "Why the WHO Faked a Pandemic," which is quite a spicy title these days, isn't it? They got caught. The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe publicly investigated the WHO's motives in declaring a pandemic. They declared it a false pandemic. They got in a lot of trouble, and I guess 2010 Forbes is a lot more based than 2020 Forbes because they even say here. But there's more than bureaucratic self-interest at work here. Bizarrely enough, the WHO has also exploited its phony pandemic to push a hard left political agenda. Oh my. They just come out and say it. In a September speech, WHO Director General Chan said, ministers of health should take advantage of the devastating impact swine flu will have on poorer nations to get out the message that change in the function of the global economies are needed to redistribute the wealth on the basis of values like community, solidarity, equality, and social justice. Even further declared, it should be used as a weapon against international policies and systems that govern financial markets, economies, commerce, trade, and foreign affairs. So, in 2010, the WHO kind of jumped the gun. But something else also happened in 2010, in that a book called The Great Reset came out by Richard Florida, who is a supposedly an economist, which really lays out how the Great Reset needs to happen because of the 2008 financial crisis. A lot of that was laid out, and then it kind of posits stuff about pandemics and things like that in it. But largely its basis is based on kind of the very recent memory then of 2007, 2008, and the financial crash, which was, I don't know, a man-made engineered crash that was the result of extreme stupidity and lack of regulation rather than, you know, needing socialism.
The 2008 crash, the credit derivatives nightmare that anybody could have seen coming with just the mild amount of description of what was going off there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a good time here in the States. You know, the Congress putting a metaphorical gun to the moneylender's head and goes, you will make these loans. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if they can pay it back. And lo and behold, the financial bubble bursts because no one was able to pay it back. I remember that very well. And back then we attributed it to Democrats because it was people like Bonnie Frank, which is a name that isn't really said anymore, mainly because of the financial bubble burst. But people like Bonnie Frank, who were hardline Democrats, who headed up the legislation to force moneylenders to make these high risk loans and to make sure that this happened. And we all thought that it was just, you know, Democrats trying to get votes by shilling these loans to people who couldn't afford them. But I mean, now who knows?
It's the same right now. You see a lot of banks who have access to like the money teat, to get direct access to the money printer, to have it in your face. You have to agree to lend out money at a very almost like negative interest rates these days. You have to agree to irresponsible lending to get money from the government, or else you don't get these government, you know, these central bank loans, and you're not really a major bank if you don't get those. You can't really play the financial markets game without being given, you know, the output of the money printer. It's kind of ridiculous that it's like this chicken and egg situation where they actually want responsible lending, but they can't be responsible lenders whilst also being major banks that have a relationship with the central bank, because the central bank mandates for them to take any money off them. They have to lend out, you know, very, very loosely. It's still very much going on. In fact, that they are very proud of the fact that they have strong-armed a lot of these banks into lending people more money during the pandemic. They're quite happy that these are bad loans. They know they're bad loans, and they back them up with the money printer. It's getting to feel a little deliberate at this stage, if you ask me. It's getting to feel a little planned. Especially when you see a lot of the stuff that came out here. I don't know if you have it there. I'll link it a bit later, Trig, but something funnier here is the what will we eat in 2030? Oh. Which mentions the bugs.
Of course. That's not that one. It's another one from the World Economic Forum, isn't it? Here we go. This is the World Economic Forum. What will we eat in 2030?
This is part of their series on the whole Agenda 2030 thing. I don't know about you guys, but I actually heard about Agenda 2030 round about like when this was all coming out. This was like, what, 2016, I think, again? Yeah, 2016 is when this all really started to surface. And the whole Agenda 2030 was kind of seen, at least by me at the time, as this twee thing that the UN and the World Economic Forum were trying to get people on board with, but wouldn't really have any teeth. Because they always have these utopian visions that they trot out. but they never try and actually implement them, or at least they don't try and implement them to that logical extent. And I think this has really been the exception with the pandemic. But yeah, there's a line in here. I just like it because of its content. It just says, "So our diets may be more veg and fruit, whole grains and vegetarian food, or new alternatives, in brackets, soy products, or perhaps insects or artificial meat."
Where is that? Where is that? You, I'm having difficulty keeping up with you jumping around, but yeah.
it's quite far down in the body of the text there. Sorry, just control F insect, and you'll see it there.
No, Scrump. The I remember, like, I don't know if this is vicariously connecting something, but I don't know if you remember a speech that Obama did back in, I think, 2014, 2015, something like that, towards the end, where he was like, you know, America, you know, we're not going to be getting those jobs back. That's just not realistic. And America has to take a back seat to a more global, on a more global role, and stuff like that. That type of thing has kind of smacked me of this a little bit. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember those lines. I certainly remember Obama saying those things. I've seen stuff like this coming for far too long now, and I've spent far too many years screaming about Bilderbergs and Davos and Illuminati and general all sorts of things that have got people telling me I'm insane for years. No, they wouldn't listen to me about World Trade Center 7. They wouldn't listen to... So, you know, I... Seriously, I'm...
Don't forget, kids. No planes with police. Ask Uncle Alex. Oh dear!
So I saw stuff like this. As I said, as a kid, where I was going to school, and some of the people I was talking to, they were talking about this type of stuff back in the '80s, about the Georgia Guidestones, about a plan for the future and how to get it to, and what state to get it to. This is the state that they were talking about back then, and it was supposed to take hundreds of years. It was either that or through the result of an absolute catastrophe that kills so many people. They're going to engineer something very horrible to happen, and to think it's they're aiming for 10 years' time?
Bit worrying. So you don't think that the Norwegians will play ball with this then, Arch? You think that they're an oil-rich country, you are right, but... I guess it's not in their interest.
Depends. Like, again, we are very oil rich, but in the you'll own nothing and you'll be happy thing, there's a part there that is very interesting. Namely, if you want something, you'll rent it. And we have a tax system in Norway where we have a value added tax placed on everything. And we also have a wealth tax. So if your total assets are above a certain point, and it's basically like if you own a house, you are being taxed wealth tax. And then that comes out of your total assets, all of it. So cars, houses, properties, money in the bank, etc. So you could very much so argue that we already don't really own much. We are simply renting it from the state and paying for the privilege.
So does that come out of income, or is that a flat tax you have to pay if you own any assets?
Oh, we have several. We have income taxes, obviously. Then there's value-added tax, which is added onto every single purchase, 25% and 12% for food and groceries. And then if you still have money, then that's the wealth tax. So if you have a house and it's worth so and so much, you will have to pay a tax based upon the value of that house.
There's basically a living tax if you own things?
Yes, and we used to have a tax for dying as well, but we did manage to abolish that.
Oh god, you got rid of your inheritance taxes?
Yes.
We didn't manage that. Our inheritance taxes are awful.
The inheritance tax, the death tax, that was the thing, and we're trying to reintroduce that now, because obviously... But we did manage to get rid of that, finally.
You know, when folks talk about stuff like that, like the wealth tax and stuff like that, I am reminded of a thing that I reference quite often in my personal life and on other streams. It's a little thing that most Americans have. It's called the inner Virginian. And what that is in every American, there's a colonial era looking man in a big old chair, and he's sitting in front of a fire all happy and content. But when people start talking about stuff like that, you know, violations of property, violations of privacy, violations of the inherent rights that all men have, you know, it's the ears perk up and they start to get up, and the urge to grab the musket intensifies. I don't know if you Europeans have that, but man, lately, like Scrum, you were talking about like the central bank and stuff like that. I swear Andrew Jackson is just reeling.
Well, you guys have the Fed. I'm going to say, you're sat there with the Fed, so I don't think that's disturbed the inner Virginian of Americans too heavily.
Andrew Jackson, I am surprised he hasn't popped out of his grave, dual flintlock wielding and just running at the Federal Reserve, force.
We could have that. I guess the British have their inner empire, you know, their inner Victorian. They have their inner they're an industrialist, maybe. I don't know. There's that spark there still of largest empire ever assembled, and now we're afraid to go outside.
You just need a flutist and some drummers behind him, and enough redcoats to go around. I'll tell you. We'll get them marching again.
We are too fat and happy. Yeah. Like, we are just actually too fat and happy. Like, our living standard is through the roof. Everybody's got more money than they could ever know what to do with. And so we just pay it. Like, the fact that buying a car in Norway costs like 2-3 times what it would cost in any other country because of 75% tax added on top of it. We just accept it because even with that, we still have money. Like, that's how you're actually going to get socialism. When everybody's got so much shit, they don't care if you take most of it.
That's, again, it's quite a unique yours, situation. Though. Yeah. There's only so much shit you can take before you end up with that standard of living going back down again. And there's only so much mismanagement a country can do before it ruins that. So it's a temporary situation at best.
It is because... this is one socialist viewpoint I do have. The nationalization of great natural wealth, because the way we've handled our oil and gas reserves in private companies that are basically state-owned, but owned also by the public, has worked out amazingly well for us. But whether or not that could possibly be replicated in other countries, that's a more difficult question.
They tried that in, was it Gazprom in Venezuela? I can't remember what it's called, but the thing is, you have a smaller population, and with a smaller population comes easier accountability. And that's why I always try and rail against this globalist shit, because as power centralizes, it becomes harder to hold to account. Like, that's, I don't know, I don't want to go on one of my localism rants, but that's kind of why localism is such a good idea. I mean, how big is your population in Norway, Arch?
Just a skosh over 5 million, so a small English town.
I'm gonna say, there's cities here in the UK. There's, you know, I think the northwest of England where I live here has got more people in it than Norway has. So it's a bit easier to manage in that case. Once you really get over that, you know, population mark of maybe like 10 million, it starts to get increasingly unwieldy. But again, it's horses for courses, really. Do what works. Be pragmatic. That is the big point here. And this is purely ideologically driven. But we do also have a couple more donations here. I don't know, are those popping up, by the way, Trig?
Or yes, just they are popping up. Yes.
I missed them. Then I missed them. I'm sorry, guys. But we have another $5 donation here from Hugh Janus. thank you, Hugh. Scrump, a correction, the 2008 market crash was not due to lack of legislation. It was directly because of legislation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gordon Brown
there, but...
was a real core player here, and this is why I would put him on a trial, shall we say. For treason.
Well, there's the whole thing with the whole Iraq war and Blair and the fact that he never ended up on any kind of trial. But Yes, thank you for the donation there. We've got a It's $1.33, one and a third. It maybe came from a different currency. I'm not sure, but maybe one of our English pounds, perhaps. Glad to catch the stream. Previous one was wicked, and looking forward to more. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Thank you, Coventry 301. So we are getting them super berries. Thank you. The super berries do feed us. At this rate, they feed us a couple of Twixes, but it's all good, and it all does help towards better infrastructure, I guess, maybe in the future if we are able to keep doing this.
Did
you guys actually catch the Twitter shit that went down when Trudeau said the Great Reset though? Did you see, like, a lot of people kind of leapt out of the woodwork? It was kind of funny. There's a tweet there, I think it's from Jonathan Witt.
We've got it here,
has
yes.
The clip in it.
There we
yes,
go.
Yes, that has the actual clip in it, if you just want to play that.
Can I get a volume on this? I think we'll get away with volume once or twice.
We'll get away with volume on this. It's Twitter. No one gives a shit about Twitter videos. Yeah.
Well, I've got no volume coming through here. Let's see if I've got the mix up right
now. For sustainable development.
We've tried to make sure we don't have, like, building back terrible audio bleed through from tabs opening and while maintaining our momentum on the reaching web the 2030 agenda awful.
For sustainable development.
Oh god! Remember you could actually go to a website Canada's and it got blasted with like 10 autoplay videos.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
It's been a while.
Remember that?
It's been a while. Yeah.
That's one of my member berries. If we can't get audio through, that's fine.
I think we've got. I think we might have it through this time. Let's try it again.
Let's try it again then.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 agenda for sustainable development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. Building back better means getting...
Ugh. Building back better, Great Reset, all in the same...
He's adopting breath. This really creepy, like, cult leader tone of voice as well. And the way he looks...
yeah.
Jesus, that is it feels like something you'd see in a... Like, all of this film's very, like, movie-based, almost. This feels like a speech an evil politician would give in a film. When he's trying to appear nice.
To be honest, Trudeau does feels a little like that. He's the most curated TV personality. So we had a bit of a shitstorm after that by the looks of this.
Can I just say one thing about that video?
Sure.
Why does it look like it was filmed on a video camera's like a laptop camera circa 2012. Isn't this guy the prime minister of the entire country? Come on, man.
I think someone filmed that off a TV. Is what I'm
Okay. Making sure.
Yeah,
Wings of Redemption style.
Yeah, that's a mobile phone recording a TV, I think. Because, yeah.
I think someone was seeing the speech and just couldn't fucking believe what they were hearing. Canada's fucked. There was a whole bunch of stuff with Canada when Trudeau at the beginning of the pandemic went in and confiscated all their firearms without permission from the parliament. He just fucking did it by executive decree. Because I spoke to a couple of Canadians that happened to. They basically got a phone call at like 9 o'clock at night, being told that like at 7 a.m. the next day the police would be over to make them surrender their firearms.
Oh boy! Next thing you know, you got Fortunate Son blaring out of the windows. Flashbang rolling down the stairs, and someone screaming, "Come at me, commies!" from the bedroom.
When? That's my question. I keep waiting for it.
I think you're right, though. I think Arch. I think there's a lot of classes of people who are far too comfy and far too tuned out. I know a lot of, like, people who are maybe in their kind of, like, mid to late 30s or kind of that in-between, that basically your generation, Trig, the Gen Xers, really.
Yeah.
The late millennials Gen Xers who've staked themselves out something and have kind of tuned out. You know, they're on their furloughs. They may be on some benefits, but they have savings. You know, they're doing okay. They're comfortable. They're able to wall themselves off. It's not really affecting them.
Let's not forget, Gen Xers are also your Bezos, your head of Dell Computer. There's an awful lot of Gen Xers that are right at the top of this and leading the way. Justin Trudeau is a Gen Xer. Freaking Macron. My generation have got a lot to be ashamed of, and there's an awful lot of them at top positions. And as you say, a lot of them are just, you know, making their money or have already made their money and going to retire or whatever, and they've closed their minds to what else is happening. But it largely Gen Xers on the shoulders of what boomers have set them are running this at full speed.
What you're saying is, Trig, this is your fault.
It's
Trig's fault. It's everyone.
You know what? Trig. You know what? Yes, I should have shouted about it louder in the 90s. Yeah, I've only really started getting my voice in a public way. Before, it's just, you know, crazy old Uncle Trig in the corner mumbling about the globalists and the Illuminati at Christmas.
Trig, do you want to play the video? We have a video for this situation that we can play on demand.
But they are
get him out the box.
Yeah, literally me most of my life at a lot of this stuff, but yeah.
The Alex Jones, just the Alex Jones screaming video.
Alex Jones intensifies. Yeah, but you know, you've got a job, you're holding it down, and you look out and you see people like, you know, the YouTubers getting annihilated for daring to speak out. And it's scary for a lot of people, and, you know, eventually, I hope more and more people, because there's lots of them, every fucking company I've ever worked for, there's lots of people that all know this crap's going off, but everyone's just, yeah, head down, earn the money, go home, shag the missus, go to sleep, repeat. And that's what most people want, and it's a happy life and fair play to them, but they're not even going to get that. They're going to find their house is taken off them, they're going to be living in a pod, and they're going to be given their daily portion of bugs to eat. Wouldn't surprise me if we've got state-mandated wives that have the right genetics for you to make sure you have the right children in the future.
Oh, that's the good future, Trey. We should be so lucky.
Oh, boy.
No. Boy. It's, well, there is some stuff coming down the pipeline here very quickly. Again, 2030 seems to be this magic number for them. We've got two initiatives coming out here in the UK in quick succession from Rishi Sunak, who is the least conservative we have ever had. He's basically, I don't know, Boris seems to have a fucking gun to his head or something. Like, they've kidnapped someone, and he's like blinking out Morse code at this point. But Rishi Sunak seems to be he was a surprise choice for Chancellor. He is not someone who's particularly qualified. And oh boy, is he coming out with some choice policies here. There's the, he's eyeing, what is it? There's a headline here. Title, good lord. A headline here from Sky News saying, Rishi Sunak eyes pay-by-the-mile road pricing scheme ahead of $40 billion tax threat from electric drive vehicles.
Yep.
And we'll talk about this first, but that also goes hand-in-hand with the next initiative he announced, which is banning petrol cars from 2030. Like, just like basically banning all quote-unquote fossil fuel cars to petrol and diesel from 2030. That's in 10 years. That's very, very close for a complete switch. But yes, the pay-by-the-mile scheme. I don't know. What do you guys think about this, first of all? Do you see the power grab that this is that I do? Because a lot of people, I've talked to a few normies about it, and they haven't put two and two together with the whole pay-by-mile thing. They think it's inconvenient. They talk about it like it's like speed cameras or something, but they don't see the real implication there.
I'll tell you a real
Well, the ban on like petrol cars, that one is a very big move, and it's a very obvious one as well to try and murder the current power industries, because they know renewable energy can't compete with fossil, and it's not going to be able to compete with fossil for a very, 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 very long time. And the longer people know this, you know, the less argument there really gets to try and force this through. But if there is no goddamn alternative, and if they just kneecap the market that needs this the most, vehicles, and they force everything to be electric, as unreasonable as that is, you know, it'll achieve kind of what they want. It also, of course, completely ignores the fact that newer diesel and petrol cars are far more environmentally friendly than anything we've had previously. And that's because there's still an incentive to produce them. If we remove that, well, they're not going to bother, are they? Like, we got a new car in the family now. It's a hybrid. Like, it gets all the way back up to the family business and back purely electrical. And then it's just got a diesel engine, you know, in case it runs out of battery. It's only got like a 4.5 mile electrical charge, I think. But that's a huge saving. Like, nobody would have made that car if it would be illegal to have, you know, petrol and diesel cars.
There's also the efficiency, like, illusion with that, really. It's, as I try to tell people, I feel, again, like a voice in the wilderness with this, with the whole scrapping of old cars, in that you can run an old diesel truck, like a pickup truck, for a decade, for the pollution that would it take to make, like, one of the batteries that go into Tesla. It's an amazingly dirty business making those kind of car quality LiPos. And it's kind of a false economy. If you're buying these cars and replacing them every, say, 5 or 10 years, you're already doing the pollution that a diesel or petrol car would be anyway. And you're also doing extra pollution with the power that has to be generated centrally. Like, you're right, renewables can't meet that need, so we have to be burning coal and oil centrally to do that. But there's a bigger implication there, too, in that they seem to want to make driving and travel in general be the purview of the rich and the privileged. There's some stuff in the Agenda 2030 stuff. One of the points there is talking about how, you know, carbon will be centrally taxed. And if you want to generate carbon in any way, you have to get permission from the government, which basically means that all economic activity will need a sign off from the government as an extra layer to it. The other thing that I've tried to red pill the normies on is the whole pay by mile thing. How do they enforce that? How do you enforce pay by mile?
Oh, you have a tracker on your vehicle, and it shows where you go and how far you go at all times.
Yep. Potentially tracker, but we actually have a semi-system like that already over here. We're huge fans of taxing the taxpayer for any and all infrastructure programs. We have shit roads. The government doesn't want to bother with it. By all rights, we should not be bothering with roads. We should be bothering with rail, because our country is ridiculously long and the population is spread out, but we can't be bothered with that either. So what we do is we make a new road, then we put a speed camera at the beginning of that road and a bunch of them all the along it that checks you. And it goes like, okay, well, you traveled from here to here, and now we're going to have a toll booth for so-and-so long between that. And if you try and sneak off it, it'll actually log your license plate, and it'll, of course, also check your speed. So if you drive a little bit too fast, well, now you get a nice little fine in the mail.
We also have that here already, to be fair. We have these quote-unquote smart motorways. We have toll roads and toll bridges and tracking software. We already have that, but this would necessitate a physical box in your car, the way the proposal is laid out. Like, they'll be taxing you per mile, and the only way that they can reliably track how you're traveling per mile is to track your car. So the government would know exactly where you are, exactly where you've been, even more so than with all the tracking systems they have currently. It's only if you go on, like, the main motorways that happens now, but wherever you go in the UK, if this is passed, the government will know where you've been, who you've been visiting, how long you were there for. If you are in your car or your car is with you, they will know where you are. And like when the penny dropped with people, they were like, oh, wow, that's not great. That's really dystopian, eh? I'm like, yeah, it is. It's like, oh, this will never pass, though. And I'm like, everything fucking else did.
You know how they'll do it. If they're really horrendous, what they'll do is they will do it via your mobile phone, and you'll have your mobile phone be the door key to get open your car door, and your mobile phone tracks you, and it won't be tracking your car, it'll be tracking you and everybody else that's in the car with you, because having your mobile phone on you will be mandatory soon.
Go ahead.
No, you go on, Wes.
I was just reminded, because for those of you who don't know, I hail originally from a small little bayou that some people may know called Florida, and we have a word for cameras that are set up on the road for speed traps. They're called target practice.
you Americans just yeet those generally, huh? I've heard that before.
In Florida, they're like, especially from where I'm originally from, Tampa, which Tampa, for those of you who don't know, Tampa is an old pirate town. It's an old pirate cove. And so it's a pirate. It is people descended from pirates who live in the middle of Florida. So just amplify that. Amplify that rebellious nature. Amplify that rebellious. Yeah, exactly. Amplify that rebellious pirate-like nature on top of the insanity that is Florida, man. And you have something like Tampa, Florida. And we had a rash when they first came out of people unironically getting out of their cars and shooting it at roadside red light cameras and roadside cameras and whatnot. It still happens every once in a while.
All right, I'm going to take a second here because we have a whole bunch of donations that have come in.
Fantastic.
We've got two here from Dr. Commie Stomper. That is a great name, by the way. We have one $10 donation. Thank you. Have you beat a socialist to beat back the Great Reset today? No, not today. Not today. But maybe I don't know. It's the week is young yet. You know, it's only actually it's Thursday. Fuck. Okay, maybe next week.
We have a saying here in the States. I don't know if you've heard it. It's called beat back better.
We have another donation here from Dr. Commie Stomper. He's only made two for $5. As a leaf, I would just like to say I disown and disavow Castro 2.0. Yes, I love that law that he looks. He looks so much like fucking Castro.
Law. Trudeau. I'm pretty sure I can prove it. Using 4chan rules of noses and eyes and angles.
Oh yeah, it is scary how much he matches. Castro.
Get the calipers out, boys.
Certainly, when you've got Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, and Fidel Castro, I know who the family resemblance lies down on that route. Yeah, they say it couldn't happen. I reckon there's a time window.
There's a $5 donation here from Enigmatic saying, so now that this stuff is pretty much out in the open, what do we do now? How do we get past the conspiracy theorist minds? The conspiracy theorist mindset most normies have. What is in your white pill emporium today? Honestly, I think a lot of people are just seeing it. You kind of have to walk them through the logical implications, like I said, with the whole paper mile thing. But once you explain to them, once you show them that this is definitely happening and this is definitely real, and they have definitely put things in this draconian in other countries and in this country before, and that the logical implication is that they will be tracked and they will essentially be a state-owned slave, that does tend to kind of red pill them a bit. It like even the most ardent, tuned-out normie will go, oh yeah, that's kind of shit. I kind of don't like that. You might have a point. So with being so mask-off, I think it does accelerate the process, and all you can really do is gently guide those people through it. Don't show them too much at once, or they might go full QAnon. You know, the arc might open and melt their brain, and they'll become a conspira-boomer and start talking about, you know, the crow flying in the east and the golden grain, and you know, watch out for the... For the man in the trench coat, Q sent me. Trust the plan.
Push them that far. Push them that far. They can only fall back to a better place. And
it's
fun to watch. Come on.
We have a $5 donation here from Mr. Twisted Frenzy. The world will be saved by the one man cheeseburger apocalypse.
I would like to disavow that comment. I do not eat cheeseburgers. I have gone full vegan.
Oh dear. There's a $6 donation here from Cerebren. I'm sure that was probably a different currency, but I'm afraid Streamlabs only shows at me in the dollar amount. Guess the bureaucrats hang the politicians. Very spicy, but we don't worry about the money. What was that out? Sorry.
Seconded.
Yes. Yeah. We don't worry about monetization here.
We were never
monetized.
It's a very long pipe, that pipe dream. And no, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
It's a very long pipe, a sturdy pipe, a pipe you can hang something from. Now,
we can repurpose.
Keithness Barbarian, another $5 donation here. Sorry, I'm saying your name wrong there. All I wanted with ethics and games journalism.
No, oh, I feel no, you, man. We now have I to go you. All the way now. Buy the rope. $15. We'll make it as a noose for you. Ready, cut. It'll be great.
Guys, 2014 was 30 years ago, guys. I can't believe it. Yep. We're so old.
Feels like it.
Oh, dear, yeah. Do you remember that? Remember that, Arch? I remember that. Remember ethics and games journalism? Remember Zoe Quinn?
Remember I do not remember ethics and games journalism, and that's kind of the problem.
Those were the days, Arch. Remember Five Guys? Remember all we thought we had to worry about was someone putting feminism in our video games?
I remember thinking that Obama was a decent president at one point.
Why are they giving this guy a Nobel Peace Prize for basically being president while black? That was the only reason my alarm bells are ringing on that guy from the word go. It was like, who is he? Where's he from? Why have I never heard from him? How is he president? Why has he got a Nobel Peace Prize? Why will no one answer me these questions? And yeah.
There's lots of time now, but there is a very spicy forum post where I think I actually got banned for it, for saying that that Barack Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize was just him getting the Magical Negro Award. And they think he's a magical Negro.
No,
it's like some Green Mile shit, you know? Now, they think he's going to save the world with his magical Negro powers.
As the token American in this here group, I would like to formally apologize because I did vote for Obama in his first term, but that was only because it was either him or McCain, and I sure as hell ain't going to let McCain be president.
Pain in the brain, McCain. Yes. Bomb, Iran.
Moment of silence, gents, for the tumor. Moment of silence.
He saved so many children. God damn it. I remember I got in trouble as well for the joke I made about that when I said that McCain got turned down by the Make-A-Wish Foundation because they said they couldn't drone strike an entire Afghani village.
Oh yeah, no, there aren't many people who I am glad are dead, but yeah.
I try not.
That's the amusing part. You remember when the media's been bringing this up lately because Trump's refusing to concede, and like, look at how nice John McCain was when he lost to Obama. It's because the night before Obama called him up and went like, "I'm going to bomb just as many Afghans as you," and he's like, "Oh." Okay, I'm on board now.
Well, yeah, Archie, he was like, I don't know if you've heard of it, but we've got this new technology. It's called drones. And boy, howdy.
Tell me more.
I hope you're not a 8-year-old Afghani boy. Because you're shit out of luck.
And also,
we came, we saw, he died.
Exactly. Oh God. Yeah. I'm kind of glad. I don't know. I hate to sound almost smug about the state the world's in, but I'm kind of glad that people are now seeing how shit that era was and how blind they were, because I was kind of watching it in the knowledge that all of this was as cringe as it was, and I felt like a crazy person. Because everyone was like, wow, Obama's so amazing. Oh, he's so good. Oh, he's so presidential. Isn't he such a good speaker? And I'm just like,
are you not saying?
You people keep... It's like, you know, he's Bush 2.0.
I will fully admit, I wasn't completely on the Obama train, but I sure as hell wasn't on the McCain train. That was my main thing. It was just like, no. I will not put a literal unironic traitor in the White House.
Well, we've covered Trudeau. We've covered basically a lot of the pipeline and the Great Reset, its history. The failed attempts for it in 2010. The build up to it in 2016, but now we're kind of coming to some of the boot, the final consequences of what we're seeing here, and poor Germany, who quite literally has had their democracy die over the past couple of days, because I you probably not heard of it, you probably didn't hear about it, but there is it's an amendment to it's called the infection law, I think it's called, and they came in, and it's the law that's been used partially for some of the coronavirus restrictions, even though a lot of those were done by executive decree. And yeah, it's the infection protection law. Sorry, and they amended it. I think it was on the 17th, or was it yesterday? It may have actually been yesterday they did this. There was a huge protest in Berlin about this. Some of you may have seen the jokes about them talking about peaceful water cannons. I couldn't actually find that one again.
Cannons of peace.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, really, they were talking about how it was, you know, protest, peacefully put down in Berlin with water cannon. I'm just like, peaceful water cannon?
Peaceful water cannons.
Essentially the exact opposite of America. They were not peaceful protesters, they were rioters, and the riot cops were not beating them or, you know, infringing upon their rights. They were forcibly dispersing them.
It's amazing that we've had all these violent Black Lives Matter protests. Not once has something like water cannon been used, but it's against people who are protesting a massive extension of executive power. That has been very rightfully compared to what they call the I can't remember what they call the law. It's basically the law that paved the way in the 1920s for Hitler's dictatorship in the 30s, because it basically allowed the executive to make up the law as they went along. It was seen as like the Collaboration Act, or the Permission Act. It's translated as sometimes, but I don't know if you want to get them up there, Trigg. But there's a couple of screens here. First of all, there's the tweet here about the Andreas Nowak, I think he's called. I'm not familiar with him. It's the tweet where the guy, basically what happened is a coronavirus skeptic doctor, the day after, like today, 11 hours ago, this happened. Today, he had his door kicked in whilst live on stream. There was about 20,000 people watching him. And he got arrested by armed police in his home for apparent violations of the coronavirus, of this new coronavirus laws. You can probably see the clip there, but yeah, he disappears and an armed police show up. He's literally doing a stream on YouTube. He is a medical doctor and someone who's been critical of the COVID-19 response in Germany. They are rounding up the dissenters. They are being arrested by armed police. They are busting down the doors. This isn't, you know, this isn't drug. This is where we are. This is where we are. That we've reached a point where criticism of the coronavirus response is met with armed raids.
What's this? This is Germany. This has been going on for a while. Germany is, those who don't learn from history, etc., I guess.
Yeah, Germany using state power to round up political dissenters and put them in, I don't know, maybe some kind of a prison system or... camp?
Yeah. Concentrate them all together. You know?
Never been done before. My God. How could they have done this?
There's also something here from what does DW stand for, Arch? I can't remember. I know it's one of the German broadcasters. It's like Deutsche something or other.
Darkwing Duck.
DW. I need a little bit more context, unfortunately.
It's a German broadcaster. I can't remember what it is, but it's there's a tweet here from DW Politics.
Deutsche Welle?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure. It's
a that's it's a state-owned broadcaster, I think.
Oh, okay. So it's basically like their BBC.
Kind of.
Yeah, it puts out as much propaganda if this is anything to go by. It's funny because there's a tweet here that says German lawmakers have voted to boost the government's powers to issue restrictions in the pandemic, but critics are comparing the amendments to the law that paved the way for Adolf Hitler's dictatorship in 1933. Historians say this is nonsense. Then here's the paragraph from the article itself. This is the same article. This is the article they linked. Today's infection protection law does indeed transfer some legislative power from the parliament to the executive, the government. Up to the executive government. Up till now, the German government has mainly relied on decrees to tackle the coronavirus, a practice that has been criticized by parliamentarians and from all parties, and deemed unconstitutional by some. It was basically deemed unconstitutional by some of the top judges in the country. The infection protection law will now create a legal basis for the government to restrict some fundamental rights enshrined in the German constitution in its attempt to fight the pandemic. How is that not exactly what people were saying it is? Like, let me read that again. The infection protection law will now create a legal basis for the government to restrict fundamental rights enshrined in the German constitution in its attempt to fight the pandemic. The executive has power without the votes from parliament to restrict fundamental rights. And they're saying that, historians say that's nonsense.
I think the key difference is when the Nazis did that, or more correctly, Hindenburg did that, it was creating the position and then putting Hitler in it. So I guess you could say that they, you know, they skipped the Hitler and just went straight to the party.
Trigg, I see what you put on screen. I see where now we're all part of the Arboreal Hydration Society.
Listen, as the resident American, that tree's roots does not end at the American borders. You can water it too.
I'm thinking in memes and only certain ones at the moment.
I don't know, man. Okay. Do bureaucrats also water the tree?
Patriots and tyrants.
The deep patriots state runs tyrants through the whole civil service. Just remember that.
quick prayer to our Saint Marvin Heemeyer.
Oh dear, Heemeyer, yes.
Germany was a very large mistake. Holy Roman Empire was far superior.
I can agree with you there. I'll take this opportunity to shout out a couple of super chats here since we're getting a lot of them. Holy shit. Thank you guys, by the way. You're being very generous.
Try that again. Hopefully. I've just started again. Is that working now?
Yeah, it's saying excellent connection again.
Sorry about that.
There we go. We should be back now.
We're back on YouTube.
No idea what the hell happened there. Discord just took a massive dump on me and disconnected me, and I'm not streaming, so that killed everything. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it looks like it was a Discord, well, maybe a Google server problem in your area then, because the rest of your internet was okay there, wasn't it? Discord and I guess Google's ingester went down there.
Yeah, I could. Here we go. We'll put the please standby screen on that we finally have a reason to use. Yes. I was just checked. YouTube was working, Twitter was working, but Discord just died, would not connect, and it killed the stream in the process.
Huh. That's fucked up. Yeah, I think Discord uses Google servers, so it probably disconnected one of the ingester as well. But okay, that's we're not having a boomer derp, guys. That's the actual internet, and well, you guys know how fucked up Google servers have been. Which hopefully shouldn't affect the recording too much. I'm hoping the VOD isn't compromised, but we'll see. Generally, it tends to cut back in. I'll cut out and cut back in. So
in true Cosa Nostra fashion, Google goes, hey, you know, you talk about the reset, you get the reset. You know what I mean?
They're onto us. Yeah. they're onto us, literally. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I doubt anyone knows.
No. I doubt that, too. It's just that Google's infrastructure is just absolutely appalling right now.
Yes, it seems to have been taking a dump on a nightly basis ever since... what was that thing that happened recently? Oh, yeah, the US election. Ever since then, for some reason, they've been having outings.
Statistically.
Mm.
Oh, well, we weren't out that long, to be fair. It wasn't the worst outage. We can resume now. I was reading donations, and if you want to donate to get us better internet... or maybe try and found something that's better than Google. There's the Streamlabs link. I was reading a donation from Hugh Janus again, I think. And I think I was making a joke about him hopefully having huge pockets to go with that. I'm not sure exactly when we cut out. Sorry about that, guys. That was basically out of our control there. That was a big derp on Google and Discord's part. But yeah, so I'll read this again because it went down as I was saying this. Some of you guys are all right. Don't go to the DNC tomorrow. Time to shift out of park. And then it was asking the question, Arch, what in all curses of hell led you to believe Obama was a good president? You're a disgrace to your Afro-Viking ancestors. So a big shot across the bow of Arch there. Do you have a reply?
The TV told me so.
To be fair,
my wake up on Obama moment was actually during the Nobel Peace Prize speech, where he said, like, thank you for the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, here's why we need to keep bombing the Middle East. Like, maybe you shouldn't have that.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about the fucking the magical Negro Prize, yes.
Just interjecting so quickly, are we actually streaming at the present moment? Because I was watching the channel, it looks like it's sort of dead and ended at the moment. Or am I?
We are streaming, yeah.
We are streaming. Okay,
watching.
Cool.
Watch we are definitely YouTube. Streaming, yes.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
I'm watching it on YouTube. You have the sad cat. Please stand by on. We can see that.
Okay, well, let's just translation that. Yeah, we're back. Sorry.
Oh. I read out a whole super. I read out a whole not super chat. It's a Streamlabs donation.
Yeah.
And thanks again, guys.
Yeah. No, the chat was not moving. I needed to make sure that was on. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, as your chat bot.
It's reconnected now. But it just needed to be refreshed.
Yep, we're up. You just need to refresh stuff. But yep. Yes, we are. Yes, you're still streaming, but it's still dead. Thank you, Usler. Very supportive. apparently wearing glorious 144p because the server's still taking a bit of a shit. But no, it's actually looking great for me. It says we've got an excellent connection on the back end. So if you're getting shit video, that's Google's fault. I can see the ingested data here, and it's fine. But enough technical details. Let's round up here then, since we seem to have... of unexpectedly a bit of a roadblock. Plus, I like to keep this under an hour and a half, so the VOD's fucking watchable. No offense to the people who like EFAP, but I don't have time to watch a 3-hour stream, do you? No, forget 3-hour, 11-hour.
Yeah, that's too much.
Sorry, have you guys got any more to say on the Great Reset, then?
Nothing. We're just seeing so much of this stuff at the moment. I mean, dare I bring up that whole... forced vaccinations thing that we're seeing cropping up in various forms all over the place. It's all part of the same thing. It's horrifying, and I don't really know what we can do about it other than kick off loudly as possible. Obviously within the law, etc. But people need to know that you disagree with paying your, car transit, by the mile. Can you imagine a haulage company paying by the mile? No, it's awful. It's awful. I will not. I
shall not. Shall not.
I no longer consent.
As the token American, my response to the Great Reset is support your local weapon and ammunition manufacturers.
I'm definitely never getting monetized on this. But like I said, we have the Streamlabs. Shill.
Which we just had from a Vol coming in. So.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We will read any we miss at the end. So do keep those coming. It'll help us buy non-third world internet. No, that was definitely not our fault.
No,
that was definitely Google's weirdness continuing. Oh, I'm so suspicious about that. That gives me such like glowy something's going on vibes with that.
Uzulu is in the chat, and his tech wizard powers made the stream go boom. So that's what happened.
Okay, so it's all Uzuju's fault.
Yeah.
I don't know, Triggs. Do you wanna get the scale out? The federal incandescent scale. See where this outage ranks on it.
Well, we've got it here at the moment, but I think we need to. It's certainly a correct the record. maybe hello, how do you do? Although, you know, all of the Google things taken in total, you know, considering what's going off, I don't know, we're at least at Richard Spencer level. I don't know if you disagree.
I think we need a bit more. I'd say we're probably at probably like Craigslist machine gun, maybe anonymous White House source.
You know what?
on the fedometer. Let's put it in between. In between Craigslist machine gun and anonymous White House source for the outages with the Google's been having.
The Google outages.
With what we learned. Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
It definitely does glow. With what we've learnt with the human intelligence sources bill. Sorry, we're having a bit of latency here as well, apparently. Because thank you, Google. Thank you, Ping. Mine's got a bit red. But yeah, with the human intelligence sources bill, we've got to watch out for the glowies. So.
Yeah, literally. I mean, when that goes through as law in England, I don't know. Might be time to emigrate to somewhere with a bit more freedom encoded into their freedom land. I don't know. Maybe not. See if we can. I know people like Sargon say we stand and fight, but Custer said the same thing.
just remember, guys. Only like the old 3% thing. You know, even over here, only 3% of us fought during the Revolutionary War. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, hey, yeah. It takes a lot.
I'd rather be the 3% than the 13%. dear me. Remember, guys, 3% of the population do 100% of the worthwhile revolutions. That's a good statistic.
Yeah.
But just to round out, like you said, if you guys want to ask anything, now's the time. I'm just going to read these last couple of donations off, and then we'll probably be finishing up here because the great Google gods seem to be beating us with their DNS stick into submission because we fired off too many of those. Weird tangent, but a friend of mine created this parody, like Alex Jones boomer radio station thing called Truth A Nation that I think is really funny and I want them to make more episodes of. And they call their transmission the Truth Blasts. And they have this whole joke about the fact that they think that that changing VPN makes them invisible to the government. It's peak conspiraboomer comedy. But I just love that idea of the you've got to keep up with our Truth Blasts. But no, we've tempted fate too much here, and to be fair, no one's said the N-word yet, so that's unusual in a stream involving me. But
what, Nigel?
I guess I did call Obama a magical Negro about 7 times, but that's par for the course. Okay, so final donations here. We got a $5 from HK94110, which sounds like a hell of a rifle. Leave Brit Bangistan for better internet. Here's $5 for a start. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're getting into that whole idea of government in exile there now, aren't we?
A nice compound somewhere.
Yeah.
That we can rebuild from.
You're all welcome at my compound. There might be a few cowboys there, though. That's Nick Fuentes' fault, though.
It'll be Nick's fault. Yeah, sure.
Nick turns up at the door, 50 cat boys in tow with his nationalist flags. He's gonna rebuild the nation with them. Nick Fuentes rebuilding the white race with 50 Cowboys.
Listen. All right, portion of all donations will go to building the boomer bunker in the middle of nowhere in Minnesota.
The boomer bunker. What if we hid in the boomer bunker? I don't know, Arch. Do you get that? Do you ever get that desire to build a bunker and just hunker down, grab a SKS in the woods kind of vibe? Or are you too fat and comfy like the rest of them?
Far too fat and comfy. Besides, I live several kilometers into the deepest, darkest woodlands of Norway. They're not gonna come for me. Ugh.
I'm so jealous. I'm countryside by UK standards. It's not even that great. And a final one here from Jesus Fried Christ. Some of you guys have great names, by the way. Yeah, Wes has type Jeb diabetes. Oh, brutal. Absolute brutality.
Right. No, but Arch, we could definitely use a robotics expert in the boomer bunker. So you are welcome at any time.
The boomer bunker has major Bert from Tremors vibes about it.
Absolutely. That's the point.
I'm there.
Bert
I'm
Gummer.
There.
Just...
Oh, dearie me. Right. With that, I want to thank my guest, Arch. Not Warhammer. he's just Arch. Don't say it. Yes. You'll get sued. and Wes, why? How do you even say the last name in your screen name, Wes? I've always.
Y11.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Scrump. It was a pleasure, and Cabal prevails.
And of course, big thanks to my co-host Trig here. Even though his internet dropped the ball and dropped our stream for about 30 seconds.
Now. Yep, apologies.
Not as
for
big
that.
Of a. Ah, yes, and please remember that the Great Reset is not a conspiracy theory, as we see with Uncle Alex with his tinfoil hat on. Ah, that's a good image. That is such a good image. Yeah, there's some really, really dystopian. If you go to thegreatreset.com, or is it .org? It's the Great Reset's website, anyway. It's the one that's not the WHO. Sorry, not WHO. The WEA, the World Economic Forum. Getting my acronyms mixed up. They have a whole bunch of this like weird propaganda they've made about how being in lockdown is great. It's making things greener. Keep it up. That's really dystopian. And also remember, guys, no planes ever hit Building 7. Don't let them tell you otherwise. thanks for coming. Thank you very much for the generous donations, and hopefully our next stream will be incident free. But we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that was not my fault. That's Google. That's not on me. But yeah, apologies again. Anyway, thanks for coming, everyone.
Bye.
See y'all later.